welcome back to another episode of Football with Ben Roethlisberger. My name is Spence, and as always, I am joined by Seven himself, Mr. Ben Roethlisberger. I'm not going to lie, that was a pretty good intro.
That was really good.
Right? I was just shooting from the hip, and I was like, it sounded almost too professional that I thought I was going to, like, I was about to mispronounce something.
Well, the funny thing is that, again, we're not editing anything. Like, that was a that was just like go. It wasn't, there was nothing. Yes. Thing. So that was good job. Thank you.
You were watching the game. And it literally was, hey, you ready? Cool. And I just jumped in.
Let's do it. I wasn't almost not ready. Yes, we are watching the NFL opener Thursday night.
Yes, we are.
There is 12 minutes to go in the second quarter. So we're not a football, like, you know, that just shows that we're not here to, like, you know.
We're not doing play-by-play?
No, we're not. We did, you know what? And we do need to, like, not really apologize, but explain it. Like, a lot of the comments... a few of the comments we got, which thank you everybody for watching and commenting and enjoying our first episode, and hopefully you enjoy the second one. But people commented on, they wished when we talked about the football, or mostly when I talked about the football, because you don't know anything about football.
I'm not going to be talking about football.
When we talked about the football, they wanted to see what we were talking about.
That makes sense.
And we can't, correct?
Like, correct.
I didn't know why, but you, you know, there's a reason, right?
Yeah, so somebody else owns that footage.
I got you. So that's what it's
and
that's
it's
what
not
it
us.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So that's the reason we can't. I'll try and do better if there's something on the game. I'll try and do a better job of explaining kind of what's going on. I'll probably not comment on just like every little thing like I did. Like, we're learning.
It's also hard not to, though, especially with the backyard brawl one, because there were so many ridiculous plays.
A lot going on.
But we're learning.
And so I'm going to do better at trying to only comment on really like big time plays. Like, I'm not gonna be like, oh, completion going down the sideline. Like, that just doesn't seem necessary. So we'll do better. Just like, as you can see, the microphone stand is different this week because I'm like amateur hour, and I kept sitting back and the microphone was up here. I'm not professional like Spence. So he gave me the arm. So when I sit back or if I sit forward, I can kind of go everywhere.
Wow, that was a great
professional. I know.
Yeah.
So
look at you, man.
Second episode.
It is. Dude, we made it.
Sponsored by.
Oh, yeah. Who's our sponsor this week?
Nobody. But we do have to thank YIKEA Water again. They come in all different sizes. See the small one this time? This is nice.
Well, this is normal size for the rest of us.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's true. It feels small.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, we're thanking YIKEA Water again. Yeah. They're
my favorite non-sponsor.
100%.
Yes.
Yes.
I love that.
Anyway.
So, yeah. So I will say this. Tonight is an extremely special night. And do you know why it's an extremely special night?
NFL opener?
It is the NFL opener.
That's a good guess.
Yeah, man. You know, you've been around this time of year a couple of times, haven't you? To guess that.
A couple times. Yeah.
What is this time of year feel like for you? Like, typically, obviously, this year it's probably a lot more relaxed.
A lot more relaxed, sure.
It's a little bit chill. But typically, do you have like anxiety? If you're not playing the NFL opener, is watching it start stirring up certain emotions?
For sure. Typically, not right now. Like, I don't have an urge to be out there watching these guys. You know, a helmet flies off if someone gets hit. But you know, typically the Thursday night, the opener is reserved for the Super Bowl champ.
Okay.
And usually they're going to play a team that was one of the contenders that, you know, maybe made a long way, which obviously the Rams tonight in Buffalo.
Sure.
And so these two teams right now are going out there knowing that all their peers are watching, knowing that the world is watching. It's the only game on tonight. I mean, maybe there's a college game. I have no idea. But it's the only NFL game on. I can't imagine. I mean, it's probably going to come in second in ratings to us if we were live.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But no, but you know that everybody's watching. Your family's watching. Your first grade teacher's watching. I mean, everybody's watching you. And, you know, for the Rams, I'm sure I assume they did some sort of a banner drop.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's at their place and the place probably went nuts, all these kind of things. So it is one of the most special feelings. That's the thing, I gotta finish my statements. It's one of the most special feelings you can get. Any primetime game is special because for the same reasons. You know that everybody's watching, your peers are watching.
Sure.
But this game is the start of it. It's been commercials for how long talking about it.
Right.
It's unbelievable, right? And so this game is, I've gotten to play in a couple of them, and it's just a really special feeling, a special night.
Yeah, so it's interesting to me because I feel like as a competitor, you're always wanting those primetime games, right? You're always running. I mean, is that the case? Like, are you getting more amped up on a Monday night or a Thursday night than you would like a Sunday 1 o'clock, whatever?
100%. Yeah. 100%. And I'll give you some funny stories. So as you get ready for this game or any primetime game, but especially the first one of the year, yeah. whether even if it's the Sunday 1 o'clock game, like the Steelers play this week,
yeah.
right? Even if it's that game, it's the first one of the year. It's just nerves, yeah. jitters. It's just exciting, right? And even after 18 seasons of those, it's still kind of, maybe not as much, but it still gets you a little yeah. bit, right? So I loved to go around and ask like the young guys, like a rookie, mm-hmm. hey, are you nervous? Are you excited? Like, are you nervous? Because you did the preseason, but then you have a game.
Right.
So I go to him and be like, hey, and I know what I'm feeling, right? I'm feeling a little bit of nerves. Right. I'm like, okay, 15 years in, a couple Super Bowls, but I'm still a little nervous. I'm excited, right? I go to a rookie like, hey, you nervous? And I don't know if they didn't want to tell me because they were afraid. You know, you don't want to tell right. me. I'm not nervous. They'd be like, no, not at all. And I'm like, are you you could tell it's okay to be nervous. Like, you're allowed to be. I'm nervous, but like, I would tell them, like, it's okay to be nervous, but use the nerves, mm-hmm. the energy, the jitters to go like play. Yeah. I guarantee you at the beginning of this thing, you're going to be so amped up. You're probably gonna make some mistakes, but how fast can you get into the groove?
Right.
How fast can you settle it down right. and just say, okay, here we go. We're going to play ball.
When does that typically happen though? Like, so when does it is kind of hit the groove? Obviously probably different for everybody, but yeah. 18 years in, like you're saying, you know, was your last year when you guys opened up in Buffalo, right? You guys took that dub. Mm-hmm. Were you able to settle in a little bit quicker?
Yeah, for me, it kind of, I feel like it got shorter and shorter every year. You know, like the sure. anthem goes, and the anthem is, I mean, that, to me, I just, I as a competitor, as a sports guy, you get that anthem going, and it just makes you like, just get yep. your juices yep. flowing. And so, that just takes it to another level. And then if there's a flyover, you know, the military flyover is so unbelievable. I would say, you know, as I got older, it was probably like after the first series, sometimes after the first play.
Sure.
If it was a long series, it might be the first three or four plays. Some guys it might take into the first quarter.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah, dude. I mean, that's nerve wracking, bro. Cause you're going a whole off season, right? And then you're going some preseason where the stadiums aren't really filled. Mm-hmm. And then like the opener comes and the play, I mean, that SoFi's packed right now.
And there's a ton of Bills fans there.
Yes. Yeah. And, the Mafia showed up.
in my opinion, okay, this is just my opinion.
Yep.
They have arguably the second greatest NFL sports fans in the NFL. Arguably, the second greatest after, of course, Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I would 100% agree with that. So, perfect example. Last year, mm-hmm. you guys opened up. We are going to sample some beers here in a second. Oh, okay. By the way. I mean, yeah. But you guys opened up in Buffalo. I didn't know what I was walking into.
Right.
We show up at the stadium. The Mafia was relentless. But what blew my mind, because you always told me this too. You're like, hey, man, Steelers fans travel. I was like, oh, for sure. Yeah. We go to Buffalo. We're in upstate New York. It's blue, red, everywhere. And then all of a sudden, this sea of black and yellow just starts creeping. Dude, it was like a tidal wave crashing.
That's what I'm talking about. Yes. Steeler Nation.
That game was so loud.
Yeah.
Between the
yeah,
two.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
It was.
So let's jump into some beer. How about that?
Okay. You sounds do good. Yeah. Go ahead while you do that.
I got one right here that I think it's I'm going to start us off a little easy.
Okay. Is it the Coors Banquet that you have over there?
Cause no. What are they called? Yellow Belly.
That's a great beer.
Yeah.
It's not worth sampling. Mm-hmm. You know, we're watching this thing. You know, there's been talk all week, or actually for a while now, about Stafford's right elbow.
Yeah.
And obviously a guy who's had right elbow stuff. I don't know what's going on with his, but just as a quarterback, and it's just, that's a scary thing. So I don't know, you know, what exactly is going on, but what's going through your mind and like, okay, the throw, I don't know what kind of, like I said, I don't know if he's in pain, if he's feeling things, but it's a little scary to be a quarterback and have your right elbow hurt.
Yeah, I can imagine. When you were going through all that, you mentioned that you had been feeling that pain for years.
Yeah, I'd been dealing with the pain for a while, for years, and then it finally just the ligaments just snapped. Yeah.
You know what? I almost want to save that conversation for another episode because I have so many questions about that. So we did do.
I just saw his elbow. I remember his elbow, so I thought about it.
Yeah, but. No. We did do actually a 4-part docuseries on your entire journey through that.
Right.
That's mm-hmm. on the Channel 7 YouTube. If you haven't seen it, it's there for you to watch.
Pretty cool stuff on there.
Yeah, man. I thought the stuff that you, a lot of it is like home movies.
Yeah,
like
stuff it's like, on my phone
yeah,
stuff,
a lot yeah. of it, yeah, is stuff on your phone. So if you haven't seen that, it's definitely worth the watch. But I would love to jump into that at some point because I do, even after doing that,
what
doc.
What you got going on
oh,
there,
buddy? Oh, buddy.
That's a very
we're diving in.
Oh, I can't.
Oh, we're diving in, dog. Hey, but yeah, okay. I would love to dive into that. And if you guys have questions about that season, that 2019 season, feel free to leave it in the comments. If there's anything you guys want to know. But right now,
here we go.
I'm going to be honest with you. I bought this because of the can.
Okay. It looks like a. Oh.
Yeah, it's the Sugar Skulls, like the Dios de Muertes, the Day of the Dead. You never seen like Coco?
Oh, I've seen Coco. Yeah,
yeah. Kids, I know you've seen Coco.
Love that show.
Yeah, so it's like that. So, I wanted to start us off easy because I felt bad last week when I hit you with the Buck Snort, the stout. Although there will be plenty more of those.
Mm-hmm.
So let me get
once
these.
Again. I do not. You have my word. I do not know what is coming out here.
Yes. So also this week we had a great. A little bit of insight. Somebody said, "Hey, you should release the beers ahead of time so we can drink them."
You released them first?
Yeah, man. So as soon as we release this, when this is live, I'll have released a beer list. So y'all be trying it with us. And what you guys are trying is from Stone Brewing Company.
Okay,
it's the Buena Vesa Salt and Lime Lager.
Oh,
yeah, that's right.
That's like a margarita, right? Kind of.
I mean salt. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right?
Salt.
I mean,
salt.
Here.
Lime.
Here you go.
I'm not.
No, hey, give us some. What was that?
No, it's nothing.
No, give us a little taste. Nothing. You got you dropping a mixtape?
I've got a cold for like a month. I just
songbird of a generation.
I'm the songbird of a generation. Fergie of Jesus.
All right, so here we go. Here is your Buena Vesa from Stone Brewing Company out of San Diego, California. It's a lager.
Oh,
San Diego. It's a lager. The ABV is 4.7.
Okay.
There is no IBU registered, but it says Stone Brewing Buena Vesa Salt and Lime Lager was born here in Southern California. And it's vibrantly influenced by our neighbors from the South. SoCal's warm weather lends itself into outdoor activities year-round, from surfing our coast to snowboarding and biking in the mountains, off-road. Guys, I'm sorry, this is lengthy. Off-roading through desert lands, boating, fishing, you know, in our lakes and rivers. Everything you want to do outdoors, you can do in San Diego. The aroma is what I'll finish with. It's clean, with a dominant fresh-squeezed lime juice and slight pleasant corn chip.
Nope, I don't have anything. I have not. Maybe it's something in my nose.
How many times have you broke your nose?
Oh, like two or three.
Why do you?
My septum is very straight though. But I don't know why I can't smell. I can smell, but dog, it's just not. I don't smell corn chips and lime. Oh, I smell queso cheese though. Maybe I'm just hungry. Football's on. Okay, right. I'm going.
I don't get no corn chips neither, cuz.
That is very light, very refreshing.
Yes.
I still don't taste sea salt or lime yet, but that's just my first little sampling. It's very, very light. I would love to have one of these while I mow the grass.
Yeah.
I do mow my own grass.
Yeah.
Well, I mow the fields.
Yes.
I don't mow actually the yard. Ashley won't let me mow the grass because she said that I would like.
You mess it up.
Yeah, I would mess it up.
Yeah, you have a little bit of terrain. I feel like that.
But I get on my tractor and mow the fields for sure. 100%.
Yeah, and I
your food plots. Everything.
I feel like the fields are way more gnarly than.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I have one that's so bumpy. Like I get off and I'm like, my back is so bad. It's awful.
Yeah, this is delightful. You want some more there? I honestly, dude, it feels so light. I feel like I'm drinking a LaCroix.
Okay. It is super light. Like there's not like I don't taste like
no.
It's super light. It's very good.
I don't know if I'm messing it up with drinking the old Yellow Belly over here. I'm gonna be honest with you, dude. I've always loved Coors Banquet, but I started drinking them more often after watching Yellowstone. 100%.
Yes.
Yeah.
Rip.
Oh, dude.
Absolutely.
Yes. Absolutely. If you were any Yellowstone character, is it Rip? You're 100%. You're either John Dutton or Rip.
So we used to have, yeah. So we used to have like Al Villanueva, DeCastro, Pounce, Ramon. We had like, we would watch it and we'd talk about it. And so we would all call each other like different names, and they all said I was Dutton.
Yes, of course you were.
But like, you know, Rip's the man.
Dude, Rip is the man.
Rip's the
but
man.
John Dutton had like, Dutton has this still quiet, like violence to him.
Oh yeah.
That is,
yeah,
it is. Tough. I mean, I feel like Rip's violence comes out of loyalty. Like, he's not going to pop off just to pop off.
But I think that loyalty that he brings is so, like, it just gives me good. Like, you're like, yeah, go.
Yes,
like,
for sure.
You're there. So.
Do you remember that time when I was like, hey, man, you know, we were trying to go horseback riding.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, man, you cool? Like, you know anywhere to go horse? I said, dude, just grab one of ours. Yeah. I was like, for sure. And I was just, thank you, Mr. Dutton.
Thank Taylor Sheridan for an awesome series.
For real.
That is amazing. If you need some guys, like some extra sitting at the bar. We could drink like these right at the bar, little snifters.
Taylor Sheridan, look at us. This is our audition to sit at a bar in the background. Can we be extras?
Hey, I have an area hat on.
Yeah, there you go. Look. I feel like you'd actually be a good Yellowstone character.
I might think I would be too. But.
Yeah. I want to be someone that like gets shot and dies. What is it? The long train to, what is it?
The long black train.
The long, yeah. That one. I want to be that. Yeah. So this isn't bad.
It is not bad.
How would you rate this?
I would say that it is extremely light, extremely easy. Like, I assume it's a light beer. I mean, what would you say? It's 4.7. So it's
lager,
like a light beer. Very refreshing. I don't taste all the stuff it said.
Me neither.
But I think it's a good beer. You could drink it. Like I said, mowing the grass and by the pool. You could. It's a very, very in San Diego.
San Diego. Shouts out.
Yeah.
Southern California. Yeah.
Good beer.
Extremely drinkable. Bonavesa Stone. It's,
yep.
I co-sign that for sure.
That's a good one.
Yeah. All right. So as we're jumping into the NFL season, I know historically you're not a big, you don't, well, at least while you were playing, you don't do predictions. You don't, you kind of focused
I
in.
I don't think it's right. When you're playing, I don't want to do that.
Yeah. No. Yeah. And I totally understand that because you're going to see half of these guys that you're predicting about, right? You're going to see them on the turf. So since you've retired, has that changed at all? Do you have anything you want to see in this season or anything that you're predicting?
No, I'd like to see the Steelers do well. I want to see a good season. I honestly think one of the teams playing tonight, the Bills, I think the Bills are a really, really good football team.
Yeah.
They're probably if you're going to, you know, make me pick a team to win the Super Bowl, I'd probably say the Bills.
Taking the Bills.
Probably.
To win the Super Bowl.
I think Josh, I think that guy, Josh, what's that?
If the Steelers can't win it?
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, I just think, I obviously always want the Steelers to win it, but I just think the Bills are, oh.
What a.
That was 3 minutes to go until halftime, Matt Stafford drops back, throws a little, like a seven route, corner route to Cooper Kupp, who's one of the most spectacular human beings in the world, but let alone football players. Throws a little corner. They're going to replay here. Throws a little corner out, shown a slow-mo. Inside release, pushes vertical. And he gets 2 feet down.
Talk about that ball placement right there, dude.
It's a great throw. And then Cooper gets 3, 4. I mean, he just keeps dragging toes. That's awesome. I mean, that's a great throw. The difficulty level on that throw is through the roof, and the catch is probably even higher. So what an unbelievable play at the end of the half, or close to the end of the half for the Rams. But I'm still taking the Bills to win it. I honestly think that one of the reasons I'm picking that is because my probably not a dark horse, but my league MVP this year, besides TJ Watt,
is
Josh Allen. I think Josh Allen's an unbelievable football player.
Very good. I feel like he's underrated.
Yeah, he's a good football player. And so I think that's my prediction, my pick for those two things.
Who do you think is like the sleeper cell? Who do you think the team to watch that like in maybe week after the bye, like maybe week 9 is like, where, hold up. Where did this come from?
I don't know. I don't know enough yet. That's hard for me to pick already because I hate picking preseason like before anything happens.
Yeah.
You just never know. There's too much out there. Too much could happen. So maybe we could dive back into that in a couple weeks.
Sure. Did you happen to see, sticking in the vein of like Steeler news, as you were mentioning, TJ Watt, who I think should I would love to see him win the MVP or DPOY so cool. again.
So cool.
Did you see the depth chart whole debacle? Uh-huh. It was like it wasn't even like a debacle. They made a clerical error and they had Kenny Pickett as the third string. And yeah, and then it was like, but my favorite part about all this, which is, I'm curious to know like how significant that is. Like if you're two or three, you both got to watch yeah. QB1. So, but my favorite part about that was Tomlin's response. My man said the copy and he's like clerical error, the copy and paste component was the copy and paste component, my man.
I was like, that sounds like,
I was like, yes,
a Tomlinism.
Yes.
No,
you know how that component goes, man.
That's so funny.
Yes. Is that
the old typewriter?
Yeah, the old typewriter got it wrong again. But is that big of a deal if you're two or three? Like, what? How different is your role?
Yeah, no, it's a big deal. It's probably not a big deal on how it was on the depth chart. Like they screwed it up. Like, sure. Yeah, both of you guys are trying to you know, you're backing up the number one guy. But to me, and I've had some amazing backups, like some guys, and I hate to even call them backups, like co-quarterbacks, yeah. guys that did it with me. I mean, I had, you know, Byron Leftwich yep. and Charlie Batch and Bruce Gradkowski. You know, I mean, I've had so many. Yeah. I hate to name some and then not others. Sure. I feel bad about that, but I named those guys because they played in the league for a long time. And obviously, Byron's to me one of the best young coaches in the NFL. Should get a head job next year. Should have had one probably this year, but wants the right job and should get one next year. Charlie's a dear friend and just a guy that was a true pro, consummate professional all the time. But and what I learned from those guys, the backup role for quarterback is to be ready to play at all times. Because I couldn't imagine like sitting there and then all of a sudden like something happens and it's like, oh, I got to go in. Like I get my arm loose. I got to get ready, like mentally ready to play. So you have to be ready to go at all times.
Yeah.
That being said, the backup's job is to do, and like I said, I learned this from those guys. The backup's job is to do everything they can to get the starter ready to play.
Hmm.
So they have to be ready to answer questions, to help with film, to help with defense, to help, what did you see here? What did you see there? Like coming off the sideline, talk. Like they can't have a mentality and an attitude of, I should be the starter. Like I should be the guy.
Sure.
You know, I'm not really going to help you or do this or that. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
They have to have that mentality. And so that is, and it's not always easy to do. Like,
right.
You know, I think when Byron came the first time, and he would probably tell you this, when Byron came, he was with us twice.
Okay.
He came, left, and came back. When he was with us the first time, he was still, you know, playing and doing good things. And I think he probably thought, you know, I'm going to try and beat Ben out for this role. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. And then, it, you know, not that we butted heads, but you could just, there wasn't the cohesiveness that there was the second time he came back when he's like, hey, I'm here to help us win and help you do everything you can to be the best. And we, because of that, formed such a great relationship. We are still very close to today. Yeah. And I just, you could see how he realized, I think, like, oh man, this is what it is and how to do it. And he was awesome. And they, those guys helped me as much as any quarterback coach. Mm. I've had some great quarterback coaches that are great. You have great relationships. You work together. But to me, that guy, that co-quarterback, that backup guy is, when I come off the field after a series, usually they're the first person I'm talking to. Mm. Hey, what'd you see? What'd you think? What did I miss something? What happened on this play? And so you have to trust that person that he sees, you know, what you saw.
Sure.
And so that comes from working together during the week.
Right.
Knowing, okay, this is what I'm looking for. Did you see that too? And so there's just so much involved with that. And that's what it takes to be a good, and there's some, to be a good backup. And there are some really, really good backups in the NFL.
Yeah.
And I think you learn as you get older too, a veteran guy start learning. But I was so blessed to have some amazing quarterbacks in that room with me.
So that role is if you don't have that cohesion there, that's actually making a pretty decent impact, or at least has the potential to make a pretty decent impact on the starter's job.
Yeah. I mean, I think you always want to be pushed, but if you've got a starter in there, that's a kind of a guy that's the guy, and you know it's his job.
Yeah.
If you're always in there trying to beat him out, you're not working together. You know, it's, and I get, and people may think that, you know, but you're supposed to compete and this, that, and the other. And yes, there are times to compete, but there's also a lot of you got to work together.
We gotta make sure that's the team wins.
Yeah, the team's got to be first. And so, but those guys, Charlie, Byron, I mean, those guys were always ready to go at any moment. But they were always doing everything they could to help get me ready to go.
Yeah, man, you love to see it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to grab this the second beer here.
Okay.
And so if you want to...
Word from our sponsors?
Yeah, a little shout out to the sponsors.
Yeah, quick shout out to our sponsors.
Find something sitting around you.
I am just looking for anything. Hey, I'm okay. Finley Trojans, my high school. Got those guys. Thank you to them. Guess what else is going on right now? What's that? Down this way. Crocs with socks.
Crocs with socks.
So thank you, Crocs again. You're not a sponsor, but I'm just thanking you because I have my Crocs on, Crocs. Yeah, always.
You're not wearing the high socks.
Not the high
socks
this time. Low socks. No.
You rock. I need to get me a pair.
Yeah. So thanks.
I wear exclusively Vans.
Yeah, you do. I've never wore Vans in my life.
I'm gonna get you a pair. They don't make size 15. Yeah, I don't think they make size 15, dog.
No, but yeah, thanks to Crocs.
Yeah.
Finley Trojans for.
I'll get a pair of Crocs if you get a pair of Vans. I'll buy you the Vans. Just try them.
It's tough. That's tough. Don't you have to be like a skateboarder to be on Vans?
Is that true? Listen, I know I look 17. I'm 32 years old. I didn't touch a skateboard in 12 years, cuz. But these ones are so comfy, man.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll get you a pair.
I'm in. I mean, well, I'm not saying I'm in, but I want like my Crocs.
I want, but if I do Crocs, I'm going to go camo with you.
Okay.
You should. Do they have snow camo?
Oh,
I don't know. I want those.
I've never seen those Crocs. If anyone from Crocs is out there and knows
if you have snow camo,
snow pattern, snow camo, I'm sure they have white ones. But you want snow camo.
I want snow camo.
Yeah, winter camo. Well, that wouldn't make a lot of sense to wear Crocs in the snow. Brother. So why would you have
dog? Listen, I'm gonna wear.
You're not a hunter.
Look at me. Do I look like I hunt things?
Does anything about me say hunt?
Does anything about me say hunt?
All right. Well, no. But anyway, I for a while I didn't think about that. That no, you shouldn't have Crocs.
No, I'm only going to wear the Crocs over here.
Oh,
I just don't.
So
wanna,
like when you come
wanna...
in the front door, are you going to leave the Vans and then put the Crocs on?
Yeah.
To walk down.
Can
here?
I keep my Crocs here?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then I'll swap them. They'll be like my house shoes, but for your house.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm all
because I don't want to wear the same Crocs you are. Because then it's like who wore it best? Probably not me.
Yeah. I mean. Yeah, I'm fine.
Yeah,
with that.
Okay.
They do make a croc that is an insulated croc, I think, that has like the fleece, but I'm too hot. Like my feet get too hot. I can't do that.
Yeah,
I don't want sweaty feet.
I sweat through that real quick. So this next beer is actually gonna cue us up from a question actually that came from a YouTube comment. So
great.
Yes, shout out.
That's what I was saying. We're getting people involved. So if you want to be involved, I mean,
yeah, dude, ask away, man. Ask away. I will comb through there and find stuff you guys wanted to hear about.
Oh, he threw another interception.
Well,
Josh threw an interception.
Got
right throw
to the players
halftime.
Wearing your jerseys, bud. That's the point of the show, man. You know, is to pick his brain for 18 years of a career that has been amazing to watch and has given so many of us so many moments. Like it's available. So ask away, jump in the comment section. This beer in particular is from the city of Cincinnati.
Oh boy. There we go.
Yes. It's now listen, it's in its defense,
uh-huh.
This brewery might be the best thing to come out of Cincinnati.
Oh,
okay.
Okay.
But this is from a brewery called Rheingeis.
Oh, all right. I've heard of them. And no offense to anybody that lives in Cincinnati. We don't.
No, you know. it's just fun sports.
It's just AFC North stuff. But we're not really there anymore, so we can't really. You know, right. But anyway.
Right. And so this beer is called Hustle.
Hustle.
Hustle. You love to.
Please say that was on camera. Please.
I did. I shot the wide angle.
The
I clicked the wide
was
angle.
On him.
And I'm just leaving. I could cut to you, but I can't.
So we'd like to take a moment to apologize.
That one's on me.
For the rookie mistake.
That one's on me.
By Spence.
Listen, man.
Spence-er.
Yeah. That one's that.
Just, it's just not, it's not acceptable. So joining us next week will not be Spence.
Guys, it was nice while it lasted. You listen.
If I knew how to push those buttons, he'd be out of here.
So that's my only reason why.
Okay. Well, let's
hustle.
Do I need to get you some paper? Oh, I can get the paper towels. Hold on.
Oh, thank you.
Let me move my.
I was going to do a post game. I was going
to
do
it. Read it to me.
A post game presser of like, you know, we gave 110% out there and you know, we tried, but you know, we came up short. Just poured a little bit too much over the top and you know, that's what you get. You pour it on equipment.
Wow.
You like that?
Tomlin might use that.
You know what I mean? If I knew how to play sports, I could be an athlete. Oh, all right, here you go. So okay. Hustle is an IPA.
Oh,
it's our first IPA that we've done.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It's
I didn't used to like IPA. Not that I like love IPAs, but I didn't used to like IPAs at all.
They did grow on you. Yeah, they did.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah. Go ahead.
And sorry. I do think you have a good palate for IPAs now because you've recommended a couple. You fancy, dog. You recommended a couple. I'm like, this is a pretty good IPA. So it's an IPA, but it's an IPA that they put out at the beginning of baseball season. So we a little late.
It's
called Hustle. All right. And the bio, listen, I'll read. It's short. It's not long. But the bio, but I don't know what this is.
Okay.
Off the crack of the bat.
Boom.
Spikes dug and exploding with speed. Hustle breaks the game wide open. This India Pale Ale takes a hard, hoppy cut at a soft, fluffy, hanging curve, driving notes of peach, tangerine, and citrus back.
Nice.
Gone.
I didn't mind that. That was a nice, I mean, you read it nice, but that was a good little, like,
are we kind of proud of how I read that?
Yeah.
I mean,
listen, you're a professional.
Yeah, I do what I can. So the hops are Amarillo, Mosaic, Idaho 7. Malts are Pale, Morris Otter, and Wheat. I don't know what that is.
Okay.
But it's 6%, IBU's 50. Which IBU is International Bitter Units.
Didn't we have someone answer that?
Somebody told us what it meant. So thank you.
Yeah. Someone shoot us a note saying that they're like a professional beer taster or something.
Oh, word.
I think so.
Yeah. So international, it's the bitter. We got it right, dude.
Good job. You got it right because I didn't know.
Hey, team sport.
Okay.
What do you think?
It smells a little citrusy, but
I think most
IPAs are a little citrusy. I mean, a little bit. So as an IPA, do you think more like, I don't want to say manly because that's not, but like, you know, like you don't put your pinky out to drink this, right?
I mean, you don't, but
like seltzers are more like, that way, right?
No.
Are we going to do a seltzer show sometime?
Dog, we do in a mall. So I will say, I feel like IPAs are historically viewed as more manly.
Right. Oh, that's what I thought. So I'm just wondering why we're doing it.
Yeah, I don't feel
that. Because we're pretty manly.
Yeah, I mean, you got a nice beard, though. Thank you. I've been trying my whole life, and this is all I get is a Captain Jack Sparrow thing going. What you got there?
It's hoppy. It's a basketball, not baseball. It's a little hoppy.
That's not bad though.
It's not bad. It's just hoppy. Hoppy doesn't mean bad.
No.
But it's hoppy.
It is. I mean, to be expected with an IPA. I didn't know what I was expecting when I drank it, but yeah. That's good. I can drink that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not bad. I don't mind that. It's Charlie Hustle. Right?
Yeah.
Charlie Hustle.
A little bit of hustle.
Which is why it says that.
I thought about since it's being from Cincinnati, I think it'd probably be a good time to.
That's a good pour.
Yeah, well.
Would you have me to pour you one, Spencer?
Yeah, because I can't. I don't know if you saw my resume there, but please over.
No.
No way. I thought you went too heavy on it, too, dog.
No,
dang.
No,
hey, bro.
No,
hey.
No.
Yep. That's why you have the Super Bowl rings. So I thought it would be maybe take a little detour and talk about some of your you had a successful career. Follow this segue is going to be great.
Okay.
And I thought take a little detour, talk about some of your assets. Obviously you and Ashley built a beautiful home for your family through your guys' foundation. You've bought a beautiful farm in which you guys are doing all kinds of awesome stuff with Father Summer Retreats. We should actually probably talk about that at some point.
Right.
But the one asset I'm very curious about says right here that for the last 18 years, you've actually owned the AFC North.
Oh.
Yeah, so I'd like to.
Wow. Yeah. Thank you. That's a great segue. That's
right. Right.
That's good. Whereas, That's good.
I mean, listen, I know.
There's going to be a lot of Steelers fans going to love that.
I know that technically Cincinnati won the AFC and went to the Super Bowl, but the joke still works, right? So I want to talk about Cincinnati because we had somebody ask about a particular game in Cincinnati. You might know the one I'm talking about. I'll set the scene. It's 2016. It's probably pretty cool.
By the way, I'm awful at remembering things like this, but go ahead.
Okay. The year is 2016. The city is, of course, Cincinnati, Ohio.
Mm-hmm. Are they the city, brother? No, that's Philadelphia.
No, they're the Queen City.
The Queen City. I knew there was something. Yeah.
They are the Queen City.
Do you know why it's called the Queen City?
Dude, speaking about Queen, man, this is going to get real morbid. You hear the Queen of England passed away? What a terrible.
That's awful.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, she lives a good life. I mean,
yeah, man.
It's awful. I'm not trying to take anything away from her.
No, but 96, awesome, man. Yeah. She had, that's awesome.
That's pretty cool for her. I mean, cool. Not cool she died. It's cool for her that she lived such a great life.
Yeah, man. She did great. And
shouts out to the queen.
Shouts out to the queen. Did you ever play one of those games over there?
Yes, in London.
Yeah.
I did.
What's that like?
Long trip.
Is it?
Long trip.
Yeah.
Long
trip. Is like the fan base kind of. Because like, those are the only football games or American football games they have over there, right?
Yeah, yeah. No, it was cool. It was packed. It was cool. Really? Yeah, there was all kinds of, like, it wasn't like one team. Like, there were a bunch of jerseys. So it was cool. Dope. Yeah.
That's super rad.
Anyway, sorry. We're on a little tangent there.
Yeah, sorry about the rabbit hole. So it's 2016.
Yep.
Wild card game. It's a pretty brutal game. Violent.
Most of those games always were. Every time we played Cincinnati,
typical.
Those games were brutal. So physical.
You get sacked. You're down for a little bit. Have to get carted off.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You're going into the tunnel. You know, you have fans throwing trash at you.
Yes.
I don't know if you remember
I had a beer can or bottle or something hit my foot on the cart on the way in.
Yeah.
Dr. Bradley was riding with me. And he's like covering me up, like trying to hit people throwing stuff. It's crazy.
So the question here is from... user God 50 on YouTube. Thanks for asking. What's going through your mind this game as a whole? And then I'm going to pick out some particular moments to kind of narrow it in, maybe jog your memory a little bit. So you're going into the 2016 wild card game against Cincinnati. What's your mindset heading into this?
Well, I think it's a wild card game. So, you know, we got in as a lower seed, and just, you know, I always hated playing in Cincinnati because, you know, when you played Baltimore, you knew it was going to be a physical football game. Yeah. But it was going to be physical in the sense that two teams were just going out and they were going to pound and grind.
Right.
Clean, just physical. When you played Cincinnati there was a stretch of games there, years there. When you played them, you almost like didn't want to play. Like, I'll be honest, there were times I was almost like fearful to play because I was afraid I was going to get hurt because of something dirty.
Sure.
Something cheap, something whatever. And it was just... you know, so that made that always interesting. So now we're going in there and you're like, man, let's find a way to get this thing and get out of here.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Get this win and go home.
So you have that moment I was talking about earlier, right? Where you get sacked, carted off. And then you guys are in the lead at that point. And then you leave.
Yeah.
And Cincinnati starts to make a little bit of run here.
Right. Yeah. I kind of remember. So I went into the locker room. I'll never forget. Like I think it was my shoulder, my collarbone, I think it was something in my like a throwing on the right side.
Yeah.
And I remember going to the locker room and just being like, I can barely raise my arm.
Yeah.
And I remember I was in there. I think our doctor was in there. I think our trainer, John Norrie, was in there. I want to say the GM was in there. And it was basically like, okay, what are we going to do? Like, we got a lead. So if I don't have to play, don't have to.
Right.
And I remember trying to throw a football in their locker room. Throwing it to our trainer, doctor's there, and the GM's there, and I'm like, I can barely throw this football.
Jeez.
And so they came to the conclusion of, well, just keep your uniform stuff on. And I think the GM might have said it like, just go back out there. Let's go back out there, and it'll kind of give the guys a boost that you're coming back onto the field.
Sure.
Keep your stuff on, because if they see you coming out with your uniform on, they might just feel some kind of way.
But that wasn't the plan. You were just supposed to be on the side.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't going back in the game.
Yeah.
No. I couldn't throw the football.
So when I interviewed Doc Bradley for the doc, he mentioned this, and he said you couldn't lift your arm up to your chest.
I couldn't. I was in the locker room throwing. I couldn't even throw a football. So that's why I remember going on the field. And I remember going on the field, coming out of their tunnel. You had to kind of cross the field to go over to the other side. And you could feel like the stadium just like, oh, I promise you. Like, oh, he's coming back out. But we still
can't get rid of this guy.
We still had I don't remember the score, but I want to say it was a 2-score lead somehow. So it was like, okay, we're fine. Like, let's just find a way to get the win. Doesn't matter how we do it, just get the win. And I think the plan kind of backfired a little bit.
Sure.
Because I think when I came onto the sideline, guys were like, saw me come, like, oh, he's coming back in the game. Excuse me. And then when I didn't come in the game, it was almost like we got, like, our guys were like, oh, he's not even coming in.
Oh, geez.
You know? And so, but I was just doing, you know, that's what they were saying. Like, let's go out there. I disagree with it, but So kind of stay on the sideline. It's like, all right, I'm not going to go in the game. We're up two scores. We're fine. I think they, and I wish I could remember exactly what happened, but I think they scored somehow. So that was a one score game, but it's like, okay, we're still up.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yep.
And then I think we turned the ball. I don't remember what happened, but I think they scored to make it either take the lead or tied or something happened.
And so they get to a point where they just have to run the clock out.
Right.
Like they get, I think they're one, they got, it's 16-15, I believe. Okay. They just have to run the clock out. Shazier comes in.
Strips that ball.
Strips the ball.
Back, yeah.
Right.
Remember that.
What's going through your mind in that moment?
Well, it was like, okay, we got to, like, I couldn't believe it because that never happens.
Right.
You know, what are the odds? But it did happen. And then it was like, got to get down the field.
Yeah.
And trying to get down the field without being able to throw is like, okay, we got the screen passes. We got little short ones.
Right.
And we did complete a couple passes, but I couldn't throw down the field. And we got aided by, I threw an in route to AB, and it was a little bit like, I was just kind of like shot put it there.
Yeah.
Thought it was going to be good. And it was a little bit high, and he went up to get it. And I think that's the play where hit him. Just try to take his head off, and they got a penalty, which got us down the field more. And then people were coming onto the field to check on AB, and one of their other players like pushes one of our coaches and kind of creates a scuffle, so they get another penalty.
Wow!
And we get into field goal range, and kick the field. Boz kicks the field goal and wins it. But it was just the most bizarre and strangest.
A series of events
that happened that you, I don't even know how to explain.
I remember watching that AB hit and like something. It felt like when you watch a UFC fight and then there's a hit and you're like, this isn't a sport anymore.
Yeah,
you're like, whoa, like hey, everyone, calm down.
Right.
I was like, did I just?
Which is my point about playing football. About playing football, like going in there and being scared to get hurt. Almost.
Yeah, dude. That's and to your point earlier is and not by things of like it's the game we play. It's like nah, man, that ain't part of the game, cuz. Right. And so that does that. But what at what point are you going in? Because you guys, as soon as Shazier strips the ball, you're getting the ball back. Is Tomlin turning to you like, hey, Seven, you better make something happen?
Yeah, I don't remember if that's the first series I went back in, but I think it might have been like, hey, you got to go. And I'm like, all right, like let's go, like you know, I'm gonna find a way.
You can't throw a football. You tried, you couldn't throw a football.
Yeah, well,
what's going through your mind?
Your definition of throwing, you know, throwing a football.
Yeah,
I could get it to where I needed to go, just not faster.
Yeah,
you know, whatever. Jeez. But yeah, it wasn't fun.
What's your mindset in that moment when Boz does what Boz does and sinks that thing?
As soon as we got down there, I'm like, all right, Boz is going to end this thing.
Yeah.
That's fine. Thank you that we have Boz. And I can just like, it's just like, you feel this like, oh.
Yes.
Like, but then it's crazy because you get this feeling of like, we did it. Like, and it's always sweeter when it's Cincinnati. It's, you know, that AFC. You did it and you're like, you feel some kind of way. And then you get in the locker room, you're like, we did it and you feel great. And then I'm like, how am I going to play next week? so it's, yeah, but that was a pretty sweet feeling, sweet game there.
Should we make sure to say thank God for Boz?
Boz is awesome.
I feel like there's so many of those moments.
Boz has saved more games.
Where it's like, oh, thank God for Boz.
Boz is the man.
Yeah. So,
Boz is the man.
And
congratulations to Boz. He just got engaged.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. No, I saw that, man. Congratulations, bud. That's exciting. In light of that Cincinnati memory, obviously Steelers are going into Cincinnati here to open up the season and to face a very good Cincinnati team.
For sure.
Right. What are you hoping to see this week on Sunday? Like, what are you looking out for? And what do you want to see out of your boys?
Well, you know that Cincinnati's got a great offense, great quarterback. So that's good because our defense, I think, is exceptional.
Yeah.
I think the rush will get after Joe. Joe's going to have to get the ball out of his hands quick. And so I'd like to see the defense really kind of set the tempo, which I know they will, and they'll do that. Offensively, I think that we've got some awesome weapons on the outside, from receivers to tight ends, running back. I think it'll be important for those guys to play well, to help, you know, the young line. Not a young quarterback, obviously, in Mitchell, but young to this team. But I think it's, you know, and I'd tell Mitchell this, like, just like I told him when he came in for dinner, play within yourself, do what you know to do. You know, don't try and do too much. But I know that when it's, if it's not there, he'll do something with his legs.
Yeah.
I think and hope it'll be a better game than people. I think people probably think Cincinnati's just gonna like roll them, but I think it'll be a pretty good game.
Yeah. Anything you're concerned about? You're looking out for like, oh man.
No, as long as the line plays well, yeah. I think they can step up. I think there's a lot of guys have a lot of pride up there.
Yep.
And I think they'll step up, and I think they'll do well.
Yeah. So you're talking about defense. All right, and I feel like you can't talk about Steelers without talking about the defense. And so I do want to dive into probably what is one of the most iconic eras of Steeler defense. So we're going to dive into that in a second. But before we do that.
Uh-oh, what are we doing?
We got a third beer.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I'm going to be honest with you, man. This one's weird.
Oh, boy.
I don't know if it's good. I don't know if it's bad. I'm going to be honest. I don't know what it is.
Why are we doing this?
But it's
what are we doing?
It's a little weird. Doing? So I'll go grab that, okay. And you can keep plugging random items around you.
I am. You know what? I'm gonna grab something for you too.
Oh,
I have something I just thought of. It is a little treat, maybe. I don't. I need to get more things down here to plug. To plug.
Oh yeah.
But anyway, it's not worth. You know what?
Oh, you meant like plug, like. I thought you was talking about plugs. I'm like, hey, I use all your plugs.
You were talking about like plug, like advertise.
Yeah, like advertise something.
I thought you meant like one of these plugs.
I am.
Yeah.
I'm gonna grab something for you.
Okay.
But we gotta do the beer first.
All right, we'll do the beer first.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna go. I just thought it. Just
you can get a set.
People are gonna be like, what's going on?
Yeah. What's going on with these people? I feel like we have to manage expectation. You know, this we are not a football analytics show. We are two dudes drinking beer on the internet, talking about life.
Look at this.
And oh, look at you. One of us happens to be a future Hall of Fame quarterback, so football comes up a lot.
This here. Okay.
This is your cantaloupe, dude.
This is I told you from my garden. I got a cantaloupe from the garden. I promised you that I would let you try it sometime, so I'm going to cut that up after we do this last beer.
Oh, my. Did you just have that laying around?
No, I picked it. No, I didn't just go pick it up just now, but I picked it earlier, and it was up in the fridge, and I'm like, I promised you that we would have some cantaloupe.
Do you want to do that first? Or you want to do this first? What do you want to do? Let's do that last because this might be gross.
Okay, yeah. We can cleanse our palate with our
cantaloupe. Yeah. Jeez, that's amazing. Oh,
yeah, just a little sugar cube cantaloupe.
Yeah. Ben Roethlisberger, professional farmer.
Yeah. Oh, we did the cucumbers last week.
That is amazing.
All right.
I feel like in the store, they're way bigger.
They are. I think so. I'm not a professional gardener. I'm trying to learn.
You could fool me, brother.
So that's called a sugar cube. Definitely not a cucumber. sugar cube cantaloupe.
Sugar cube cantaloupe.
So I think what you're supposed to do when I was learning about this before I planted it.
Okay.
Is it's made to like you cut it in half. It's and then you can like scoop out the middle of the seeds.
Okay.
And then you can like put like cottage cheese or sherbet or something in it and kind of eat it as like a bowl. It's like a bowl.
Oh, so it's its own meal.
Sort of, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's why it's so little, I think.
Okay.
It's a little bowl. My son would say, it's a little fry guy.
A little fry guy. Yes. You got a watermelon up in that joint too.
I do have a nice one growing up there right now.
Yeah.
Dang. One big one and one small one.
Yeah. I seen the pumpkins you guys got over there too.
At my dad's farm. Yeah. Those are huge.
How many pumpkins, like, do I have to buy a pumpkin at a pumpkin place or can I come over here this Halloween? How many you got?
Yeah,
like, you got?
I think we have some. Yeah. All right. It might cost you a little bit.
Right, hey, man. I'll support the cause, brother.
All right. What do you got here for us?
All right. So this is, and like I said, it's a weird one. It is from Sierra Nevada.
Oh.
Not Nirvana.
Sierra Nevada? Nevada.
Is it Nevada or Nevada?
I think it's just where it depends.
Okay, where you're from? Sierra Nevada. I'll say that.
Okay. I like their beers.
I felt when I said Sierra, I just thought Let's Ride.
Oh, okay.
Because of the Sierra Nevada. It's called Bigfoot. It's called Bigfoot.
The elusive Bigfoot.
It is a barley wine style ale.
Oh.
A barley wine style ale.
Barley wine or barley?
Barley.
Barley. Like
not burley.
Barley, like what the beer's made
of. Yeah,
barley.
Yeah, like yeah, but okay, it's barley wine style. Yeah.
Okay.
It's 9.6. So this one tuck you in.
Okay.
This one could tuck you in a little bit.
So we're going to sign off.
Yep. Look at your boy, though. Hey.
Oh.
Progress.
Good pour. Well done, sir.
It's 90 IBU. And this is
what is IBU again?
International bitter units. So it should tell you higher the number, the more bitter it is.
More bitter. Okay, that's kind of what I assumed.
But that's what I'm.
You know what happens when you assume?
Yep, I do. I do. It's in the word. But here's a stat, a thing to know from it. It says original gravity, 22.5 degrees. Finishing gravity, 6.5 degrees.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Which is that's the your preferred gravity,
right? Yeah.
And because I remember you saying, "Oh, if I'm going to have gravity, that's going to be 6.5 degrees."
That's what it feels like.
Yeah. So I don't know what that means, but again, if you guys want to educate us in the comments, we love learning. Oh, I thought I botched mine. Oh, I still might. Come on, dude. I can't do it twice. If I do this twice, you'll never see me again on the show. You know that, right? You can't do that twice. Anyway.
His gravity's off.
My gravity's off, dog. Speaking about gravity, I was jammed to some John Mayer this morning. I just thought, gravity.
Oh, okay. Why don't you sing us a little something?
You're not a John Mayer guy, are you?
I mean, I think he's talented, yeah. Obviously, but.
Oh, I probably can't can't clear the rights to sing that. I meant Don Mayer.
We listened. We're just joking. We didn't mean that person. I thought we weren't editing anything. Now we have to edit, to beep that?
No, what are we talking about? We're talking about Don Mayer.
Oh, yeah, Don
Mayer.
It sounded like you said the other one, but it's Don. Yeah, yeah.
You meant John. No, I'm not talking about John Mayer.
Don.
He's a Pittsburgh guy. Bickford is a beast of a beer packed with bittersweet malt and heaps of aggressive whole cone.
It has got an aggressive smell.
It does it? It's Pacific aggressive. Northwest hops, first introduced in the winter of 1983. Bickford is a cult classic brewed in the barley wine style, strong and robust with the refined intensity of a wine. Bickford is prized by beer collectors for aging in cellars. Under the proper conditions, it can develop enticing new flavors and character as it matures in the bottle. Each new release or expedition is vintage dated. Collect your own. Savor the evolving flavors.
It's robust.
Is it?
Very robust. What year is this? I don't know what robust means.
Oh, this is
robust.
2022. This hasn't aged at all. What a worst. Some beer collectors really upset.
Oh. Oh. That's
I don't want to try it now.
I mean, it's not coffee.
Oh, wow.
It's, yeah.
What is barley wine? Have you ever had barley wine? Is it a wine?
I don't think so. I like Sierra Nevada. I like their brewery. I've never had this. This is
I like their the Torpedo. IPA, I think. So here we go.
I'm getting a lot of late finish of something.
Oh.
I don't know what it is.
Oh. Dog, it tastes like 9.6. You don't taste alcohol in that?
Yeah, I don't taste a lot. I mean, I taste a lot, but I couldn't tell you what I taste.
Yeah. I feel like
it's
that's
very robust.
I'm just a little guy. That's all I'm having.
Man.
It's not bad, though, dude.
It's not bad, but it does have a very unique. It has an enormous malt body. There's no doubt.
Big body.
That's what it says.
Enormous malt body. I don't, you know what, dude? I don't hate that. Wow. I honestly thought, I got that, and I was like, yo, this is going to be oddball one. Let's throw it in there, see what happens. I don't mind that at all. I do feel like that is a beer drinker's beer. Somebody with a real nice beard loves that thing.
Yeah, there's going to be, if people do indeed try the beers that we're trying.
Yeah.
There's going to be a small group of people that really like that.
Yes.
Small group.
Yeah.
And they're going to be yeah.
Yeah, they're been down here.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'll brush my teeth with this right here. I don't know whether I have a southern accent. That's on me. But yeah,
that's
Would you so if I brought some of those over, would you drink a whole one of those?
Nope. A whole one? Nope.
No, not me.
It'd be hard.
It'd have to be by a fire with and I'd
late
have to wear
night,
yeah,
last
wear
one.
Flying flannel and
last little thing. Doing just cuz I want to. This is a little.
It's not bad, dude.
Halfy.
Yeah.
It's a little halfy.
I'll take a little more. I thought I was just going to do, but the flavor actually, I feel like it smoothens out as you go.
Maybe it's because it's a wine. It needs to breathe a little.
Oh, dog, you out here. You actually know a lot about wine.
I do like wine.
Yeah. Actually know, but
enough to do a show on it though. Like I would beer.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause we know so much about beer. Yeah. So, all right. How many stars would you give it? And then we're jumping back to the Pittsburgh defense because I got I got cues and I need some A's.
Okay.
I'm giving that 2.5 stars.
Yeah. It's just different. It's unique. I could drink one.
Yeah.
And then go to bed.
Yeah.
It's okay. I mean,
I feel like I've sampled enough beers with you though, dude, that anytime you do the you don't really like it. It's like
it's just, you know.
You hit him with that. Yeah. Well, let's
thanks, jump. Wackia.
Yeah. Yeah, the clean in our palate.
Okay, you asked me a question. Why cantaloupe?
Yeah, give me some cantaloupe. All right, so you're talking about
I have to focus on
the defense going into Cincinnati. How you're excited to see them kind of get after Joe there. Is your phone next to that mic? Maybe get that away from that mic there. There you go.
Is it creating a static or something?
Yeah, it does. Technology. So I do want to talk about, hey, that's not a knife. Now that's a knife.
That's a knife.
I do want to talk about one of the most iconic Steelers defenses in recent history. So iconic that you guys actually took home a ring with them. Mm-hmm. The 2008 Steelers defense.
Yes. So good.
Which I love the fact. So this is a question from Steelers U on YouTube.
Okay.
So thank you for asking the question, because I'm personally curious about a lot of this stuff as well. So I'm excited to be able to ask this to you. The guys on that defense, I feel like all could have been the Pro Bowl defense for the AFC.
For sure.
I mean, it was unreal the amount of talent that you guys had there.
Mm-hmm. At every position.
It was
unbelievable.
It was just riddled. It was stacked. What did that do for you playing against them in practice every day?
Well, it definitely makes you better. Sure. The thing about practice is you really only go against the like one-on-ones, like good on good, very rarely in practice.
Okay.
You know, usually like at the beginning of practice. Training camp, you do a lot more. So training camp, it made you like, you got to go.
Was it noticeable that training camp that year? Like, oh, dang, man.
Like, oh, yeah. You know, I mean, it wasn't like it was just 1 year. It was years. That's just sure. year we won the Super Bowl. But they were just, I mean, from up front, the rush, you know. And I always hate to like single people to talk about them, because I feel like I'd leave someone out.
Sure.
But I mean, you had guys, the big snack, Casey Hampton at nose, and Aaron Smith and Brett Kiesel, you know, it bringing the rush. And like, if I leave someone out, I did not do it on purpose. I apologize. But, you know, linebackers, James Ferrier, Larry Foote, Clark Hagen, you know, just the people you had out. James Harrison. I mean, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I think Lamar Woodley was here then. I think Clark Hagen was there. And then, you know, in the secondary, you Ike Taylor, Clark, Ryan Clark, Troy. I mean, one of the greatest safeties and football players I've ever been around in my entire life, in Troy Polamalu.
Yeah.
I mean, that defense was so good that it would wreak havoc on you. Just to watch them. To watch them was so much fun. Like, the things that they would do in practice to, like, our, like, the other quarterbacks, like, when they would do practice, it was just unbelievable. It was unbelievable.
So, as you mentioned James Harrison, I only met him one time at Kiesel's house after the Shear the Beard.
Oh, yeah.
And I had found out, like, earlier that day, they call him Debo.
Debo.
And I'm a huge Friday fan.
Right.
And I was like, what do I call him Debo for? And then I walked in to the doorway, and he was standing there to get past him, but his back was to me, and I was like, hey man, can I get by you real quick? And turned around, I was like, oh, that's what I call you, Devo. I was like, jeez. I would hate to be hit by that dude.
That man was one of the hardest working guys that I've ever been around. One of the toughest. We played against each other in college.
Really?
Yes. He was a senior when I was young, but he, I mean, he would go after games, I think, like, he would go to, like, work out. And he would go work out. Like, he'd go to the weight room before games.
Like, jeez.
Dude was a freak. So good at what he did. His low center of gravity, right? Not a tall dude, but, like, a big dude.
Yes.
And he'd get underneath guys, and he was so strong. He'd push on them, and, I mean, player of the year, defensive player of the year. And probably one of the greatest, if not the greatest, football plays of all time in the Super Bowl,
hands down.
You know, I that Super Bowl that we won against Arizona and Tampa, like I throwing the touchdown pass was so special, and it was a great play.
Yeah,
but that play that he made at the end of the half was one of the most iconic plays, and it just truly remarkable what he was able to do on that play. I'd say that that changed the game and probably won it for us, yeah. even though it was at the end of the first half. It was unbelievable.
Oh, for sure. And I feel like that Super Bowl is insane because it has both on offense and defense, you guys pull off these plays that legitimately, like, you dream about as a kid playing in the yard with, like, your friends in the neighborhood, mm-hmm. right? I mean, that defensive play that he does, there's not, you can't add anything to it. That's the greatest defensive play of all time. You intercept the ball, you get a pick six, and you run the entirety of the field.
Yeah, it's not a pick six. It's just, it's an interception. Sure. Is a great play because it stops them from scoring, right? That's a 7-point play. But now you go score, it's a 14-point play.
Yeah.
Because you're stopping them and you're scoring. And he goes, and it's not like, it's one thing if, by the way, if I'm cutting this wrong on you people watching me, it doesn't matter.
Let's get the wide shot and see. Oh, that's very good knife work, my friend.
Yeah, I'm a nice snob.
I'm watching you in the monitor here.
It's one thing if, like, a defensive guy, a defensive back, safety, something like that, like, does that, you know, with a guy with speed.
Yeah.
But you're talking about a dude that's 275. Yeah, I don't even know how big he was. He's
small.
Huge.
Yeah, he's not small.
And he goes all the way. Now, he had help from the boys, like, giving him a little right. bit of a escort.
Right.
But what he did and the way that he played. Now, James Harrison is one of the scariest dudes that you'll ever be around in your life. But you know what? He's also a big teddy bear, and he's going to get mad at me for saying that. So maybe he'll get mad enough that he'll come on the show sometime.
Yeah.
And he won't come on here because he'll want to put on a persona of being, like, too tough. But James is an awesome dude.
You can say that. I'm not saying anything about you, James. You were very kind to me. Thank you. That's all. But I'd be remiss if I didn't, as a Polynesian person.
Okay.
I'd be remiss if I didn't ask about Troy Polamalu.
TP. Like, HOF.
Do you have any? Because I've never met him, but I've he seems so gentle.
Yes.
In real life, and he's one of the most violent people I've seen on a football field. Do you have any, like, Troy Polamalu stories?
Yeah, I mean, Troy is one of the, and I don't mean this in like one of the sweetest people. You know, you don't mean, but like you say, he's truly one of the kindest people you've ever met. One of the most violent people you ever meet on the football field. Like, literally, he will hit you. I've heard stories. I'm not on the field with him at the same time.
Right.
He would hit people and then apologize to them. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm about to knock you. I just knocked your head off. Oh, sorry about that. And then do it again the next play. Dude,
that kind of mess with you, bro.
It was crazy.
That would kind of mess with you.
But I would say, like, a couple things that really stick out to me about Troy are two specific plays that he made. They might have both been against Baltimore, but he makes an interception at home. In every Steeler fan out here, you'll know what I'm talking about. When he slides, he dives. You can see his hair flowing in the wind. We all can look back and see it. He dives, and he sticks his hand under the football, and he intercepts. I mean, literally, it's like I just barely get my hand under the ball. Intercept. I think he went for a touchdown on that.
Jeez.
I want to say it was against Baltimore. I'm not positive, but sticks his hand under, intercepts. It goes back. And, I mean, I think the place, like, you watch on – we watched film – of that game the next day, and when that's happening, the camera's shaking because the stadium is shaking. And then there's another play that Troy was, like, maybe third or fourth and one. He just does this a couple times, but he would jump the line, like, jump over everybody and tackle the quarterback and pulled him back. Troy was just one of those guys that was just such a great person, a great friend, great teammate. He's the only guy I've ever known in my entire life that could play. Could be in the NFL, could be a professional football player, and he would practice in, like, tennis shoes.
Really?
And never slip, go full speed, intercept balls, be all over the field. Like, there'd be times that I'd be under center, like, calling it, and look, I'm looking this way, look this way, Troy's right here, and I look back, and next thing you know, Troy's, like, on the snap of the ball, his back is turned to me. Like, you can't do that. In the NFL, your eyes have to be either on the quarterback or your receiver at all times. Troy was able to literally not see either and get to a spot and still, like, make a play. Like, he saw it out of the corner. I don't know how he did it, but Troy is one of those guys that, like I said, is one of the nicest people, greatest people. But what he was able to do on a football field is a marvel in itself. Just unbelievable.
That's amazing.
Unbelievable.
What kind of, you say he in tennis? What, he like some Pete Carrolls or what?
No, no. He would wear like a turf shoe.
Oh, okay.
With no spikes on it, and he would intercept me in practice, and I would be, and because when we go against in practice, we would go against, like, what they call the scout team or the show team.
Yeah.
So they're supposed to give us what the defense is supposed to look like for that week.
Sure.
So that's why we would go against the show team, and then the defense would do the same thing. And Troy would go on there sometimes, and he'd be intercepting me, and I'm like, Troy, like, you're just giving me no confidence for this week. But he was just, he was special. He was awesome. Awesome.
That is amazing, man. I just love that, like, dichotomy and personality. You know what I mean? Because I, you know, you hear him in interviews or whatever, and you talk, and I got to see him when last season when they did the, they unveiled the, what do they call them? The bus. At what was then Heinz. So it was cool. It was cool to see that, man. But do you have, you're talking about them being, you know, trying to emulate the defenses of the next week. Do you have any defenses or like defensive players that were always super challenging to plan for? Like every year, every week, you're like, I gotta look out for this freaking guy.
Well, I mean, yeah, if it wasn't our guys, it was usually guys like Ed Reed was a safety that was a lot like Troy. Same thing, Hall of Famer, one of the greats. He'd be down, he'd be over here, he'd be over there. I'm like, how did you get over there? you know, when I kind of first guy I played against that Baltimore Ravens defense that had Ray Lewis and Haloti Ngata and Suggs. Yeah. And so as it went long for a long time, I think Suggs was always a guy that you just, okay, what edge is he on?
Yeah.
You know, and we, because we played him twice a year. And so he just was an animal. It was hard to play against him. He was so good.
Again, another guy that I have. There's not enough money in the world for me to get tackled by that guy. There's just, he was so good. There just isn't.
Yep.
But so how are we working on that melon there, brother?
Hey.
This is it.
You can use a knife and stab it or just take a piece, whatever you want to do.
I'm going in on it.
Yeah, let me know. So I'm very interested.
Let me clear my palate because I got, it's the whole barley wine situation. All right. It's homegrown, huh?
Homegrown. Alley Garden.
That's, dog, does it taste minty to you on the back end?
It's just awesome.
Dude, that doesn't taste like any other cantaloupe I've ever had in my entire life.
It's isn't it awesome? Kids, don't do this home. Call the knife.
That's very good. I know y'all didn't come here for a cantaloupe review, but that's, I know you talked it up, and I was like, oh yeah, I'm sure it's delicious. That's actually very, very good. Yeah, man. So let's do this, man. As we're wrapping this up, episode 2, let's pick a favorite of the night. So we have Rheingeist Hustle IPA. This was at the number 2 spot.
Even though it was Cincinnati, it was good. Liked it.
We're not docking any points because it's from Cincinnati.
Nope,
all right.
No dock.
All right. We're being unbiased here. We have Bueno Vesa from Stone in San Diego. Mm-hmm. Rheingeist Hustle from Cincinnati. Bigfoot Sierra Nevada out of Chico, California.
Okay. So, again, I will always say this when we talk about these beers. There is no bashing of any of these breweries.
No.
This is just strictly our opinion. And just because one beer, we say something about them, doesn't mean the whole brewery or their whole lines or anything like that is we don't like it, because it's just our opinion. I think the Stone is extremely light, extremely easy to drink. Can drink it anytime. That could be like an everyday, or if you're out like in the summertime.
Yep.
Easy drink. Walking on the beach, whatever you want to do. No problem. The Hustle, the IPA, good. Enjoyed it. Not too strong of an IPA. I thought it was, I enjoyed that as well. Yeah. I could definitely drink both of these again, no problem, anytime. The Bigfoot, right? Is it Big?
Yeah, Bigfoot. Yep.
Bigfoot, didn't enjoy it as much. Didn't hate it. Could drink one. Like you said, I think that's the end of the night around the fire. Just kind of a heavy night drinker. So I'm not going to rank them in order of like 1, 2, 3, but that is my just a different beer. It's a different beer. But I enjoyed it. Congratulations. You did better than you did last time.
Hey, man. Well, I'll probably do worse next week. So hit or miss. But same thing, man. I think if I'm going to buy a six pack of it, I'm going with Buena Vesa, just because it's drinkable. And the Sugar Skull is super dope. I think all of them are awesome, man. I appreciate you taking the time to share the stories, dude. I love that. I'm excited for next week when we dive into Cincinnati. I mean, it will be after the Cincinnati game. We'll talk about the actual 2022 Steelers taking on the Cincinnati Bengals. Talk
hopefully
about
a
that.
Big win, maybe. Yes, hopefully. Let's hope for a win.
Let's hope for
a win. We might have a guest. We're still working on that, we're saying. So
We got guests in the future. But like always, if you guys enjoyed this, thanks for taking time to watch it. Like, subscribe, comment, share. And please, if you guys have anything that you want to ask Ben, if you have beer recommendations, if there's anything that we got inevitably got wrong and you want to correct us on, feel free to leave that stuff in the comments. We appreciate you guys, and we'll see you guys next time.
Appreciate y'all. Thanks.